Okay, so let's start. We started a sugya 2 weeks ago, very, very, very important sugya. And everybody forgot about it already because there was a week break, Purim, a little bit of shikur, lost some brain cells, but we're back. We're back and better than ever. So let's start like this. So, I mean, there's a few people here, so I'm not too nervous, but what I'm going to say, I think is MS. I always think it's MS. For some, it's gonna be laughter, some joking around. And for some people, it's going to be very, very serious. And they could be not so laughing. I think most people here will be laughing, so I'm okay. But it is serious. I'll say it. I'm going to speak about it in a little bit of a joking way, but I do mean it. So depending on where you are on the spectrum, I'm not making fun of those who are taking it seriously, and I'm not joking for those who are not, whatever. You get the point. I always have to, like, check my, you know, I'm going to get in trouble later.
Disclaimers.
Yeah, disclaimers, yeah. You guys signed the permission slips. Your parents all signed for you to be here, so. So being a human being, as we all are, Baruch Hashem, human beings, we're just trying to be. That's the ikker. That's deep, we're not going to talk about that today. Comes with a lot of responsibilities, a lot of obligations, a lot of duties, a lot of demands. Yes?
Yes.
Then on top of that, being Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, it adds even more obligations and responsibilities and demands and duties and pack it on. This is a cause for many people to have stress, anxiety, to feel overwhelmed, bechlal, befrat, different times. You know, for those who take Yiddishkeit seriously, It comes with a lot of stuff. It's true. We have 613 mitzvahs. Okay, not all of them are applicable, but we usually take one mitzvah and turn it into 613 pieces. So even though we don't have all the mitzvahs, we still add enough. And a person can, it's possible, again, either befrat in a certain situation, certain mitzvah, certain zman, or in general, a person can have certain negative, pessimistic reactions, feelings, thoughts about Torah mitzvahs. It's possible. If I would ask every single person, you know, if you could choose one mitzvah to take out, God says you have one choice. Could be some people would have a choice. Yeah, I would take this one out. I'll take that one out. Some people would take out Yom Kippur. Some would take out Rosh Hashanah. It's possible. If I didn't have to do that one, I'd be okay without that. Right? If you truly loved every mitzvah, then why would I take anything out? So Lamaisa, we just finished Purim. Purim, for some people, was very stressful. For some people, it was very stressful. Mishloach Manos, you have to make a nice poem. You have to have a theme. You have to have costumes. There's Manam of the Megillah. Husband's going, wife's going, kid's going. Mishloach Manos, you have to. Every kid has to go to every single person, every single Rebbe, every single Mora. You have to drive 6.5 hours around there. Now, I didn't do that, but some people do. And there's a lot of stuff that comes with you know. By the end, now you understand why the suda, people become shikr. It's like, you know, Ad Kaner, like, I just got to get rid of this stuff. But there's a lot of stuff. Now, Purim's over. But anybody who's walked into a kosher grocery or supermarket, what do you see right in the middle of the store? White lined shelves, sterile. Everything is dirty on the side. Right there is clean. And then the triggers come. Pesach's coming. Already right now. We're a month. The supermarkets are changing over. I think every year they're getting earlier and earlier. Now, I think they're responding to the angst and the anxiety and the worry and the fear of the Jewish people. But it's cycling doom. Because then we have to start buying things early. And then we get nervous early. And then they say, you know what? Before Purim, we're going to bring in Pesach. They're going to start selling macaroons next to the Hamantashen. That's what's going to happen. Say, you're going to destroy our Purim. They're already, you know, it's already destroying days and weeks and hours of our lives. But this is what's happening right now in Klal Yisrael. There's a lot of triggers going on. Cleaning the house, buying clothing, family getting together. Maybe you don't like your family so much. All this stuff is coming in. People are getting triggered all over the place. I wouldn't talk like this in front of women. It would just become it would just be bad news. You know, they would, because they take the brunt of it. But you should just know I do the shopping, so I do take on the stress of the shopping, even though I don't do the cooking. But here it's a little bit more safer to speak about these inyanim. A little bit safer. You have to worry about all the money you have to make for the. There's a lot of stress, a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety for some people. Nervous, they're feared, they're fearful. And I guess I understand. I mean, I'm not pro Pesach programs, but I do get it to some degree for the people who are just overwhelmed. They're just overwhelmed, and they have big families, and they can't handle the stress. So some people go meditate, and they just pay money to go to a hotel. There's really no difference in a certain way. Yes, sir. If you're just trying to alleviate stress, right? Either meditate and go take a walk. Once the system is now filled up with stress and the triggers are poking you all over the place and you're going to explode, so you could either, you know, go take a nice walk with some nice music and meditate, or you can just get away from and do Pesach, right? This person is going to meditate every single day and then he's going to go, you know, to bingo or something, to Gourmet Glot, or you could just, you know, buy your way out of it. Now, of course, buying your way out of it never really works because there's a million other stresses that come with going to those programs. Because when it comes to stress and anxiety, it's never the external situation. Because life's about external situations. There's always going to be something. It's about our response. It's always about our response. It's about the inner world, not the outer world. When has there ever been 6 months straight of nothing in the external world, meaning in your household, in your shul, or in the world at large, in the Jewish community, that has been perfectly calm? There's no such thing. And there never will be such thing because that's why we're here. But the world is kaich. I didn't do that. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol niyam dvaro. Now what happens, now each person again, for some people it's a joke, and for some people it's very serious, that the anxiety, the worry, and the fear builds pressure in your system. Each one of us has a system. We're a factory, we're a car. Each person is a working system. Now that buildup, if there's no exhaust, what happens when an engine, it overheats? If the mufflers aren't working, these things aren't working, there's no exhaust pipes, things start to overheat, they start to break. So you have all this anxiety, this worry filling up the system, your head's going all over the place. You can't calm yourself down. System overwhelm, then where does it go? It goes to your heart. Irritable, cranky, sometimes depressed, some people, everybody reacts in their emotional self a different way. Angry maybe. Things then might, right? From the stress in the head down to the heart, things come out of their mouth. Either they become neutralized, like immobilized. They just can't process. They can't move. They become overwhelmed. Sometimes people become angry and irritable and out of their mouth comes that stress just in word form, which is not usually happy words. Hamivin Yavin. And then, right, that's never really a true exhaust, right? The anxieties are still there. So then what happens? Headaches, high blood pressure, muscle tension, shallow breathing, sleepless nights. Yes? For some people, this is actually a reality. So what starts with this in the head, all of this pressure, the anxiety, the worry, the stress, starts to overwhelm the system. Where's it going? It's going to go into the rest of your body. So then it goes into your heart, takes control of your emotions. Then it takes control of your behaviors. Then it takes control of your physiology. Psychology to physiology, and then it just wraps around. And then you have bad knees and you have high blood pressure, so then you're worried about that, and we just start the whole system again. So even when Pesach's over, the system just keeps flowing in this way. This is a reality by many people. Now that person, okay, we're making it very extreme, that person has to go to a doctor because they have high blood pressure. Their knees hurt. They have headaches. But they start working on that and it helps a little bit, but then it doesn't fully get it away because then they realize, no, it's in their heart. They need to go to a therapist because their behaviors are off. So they have to work with a therapist for weeks and CBT and ABF and all these other letters they have to work on and control themselves. And then that works to some degree, but then if you're not fixing the problem, so then the body still hurts sometimes. The therapy works a little bit, but then you have to go to a psychologist because then you still need to work on your head. Right? But sometimes the psychologists don't even work because sometimes they can't get to the root of the problem. Because if you're only starting from fear down, worry down, anxiety down, you're not talking about where it's coming from. They're not getting to that point. How could you fix anything? So then the whole cycle just keeps going. Yes, it's not every single second of every single day, but those who do experience this, and I hope it's not anybody here or in general, I hope not, but it is. This is a cycle, the cycle of doom that people live with in this world. And it gets triggered sometimes by Pesach. It gets triggered sometimes by Elul. Slichus starts to trigger people. If I could do it with Slichus, I think I would do it with Slichus. If I could do a Pesach cleaning, like if a Kodesh Baruch didn't mind that I had some chametz in the house, I'd have to clean the house, I think I'd be okay. It's true and not true. I'd still find something else to stress about. Because this is a whole world. It all stems from one place, just comes out in millions and millions of ways. There's a song Arya Kunstler put out recently. I was using it in a chabur recently, so I'll just tell you the beginning of the line. Ever since I was a young child, I have followed in your ways. Now that I'm older, it's harder, I must say. I have my own free will. I still choose you. Being a servant, not a burden when you're working for the king. Let's pause. Being a servant is not a burden when you're working for the king. The king's the whole problem here. If it wouldn't be for all the mitzvahs, then I wouldn't have the burdens. A lot of our stuff, our Jewish stuff, that comes from religious stuff. Mitzvahs, obligations, Torah, tzedakahs, tefillah. What do you mean? Of course there's a burden when you're working for the king. That's the whole thing. Who is this king? He took us out of Asher Tzitzi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, Liyosachem, Elokim. He took us out of Mitzrayim. We were Avdei Paro, and now we're still Avadim. The word Eved. So we're not Avadim to Paro. So we're Avadim to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So we're still slaves. So we moved from slave work, building, you know, Pisim and Ramses, yeah, and backbreaking labor, and some who we don't like, and we're just doing the same backbreaking labor for Kodesh Baruch. Now, level one is, yeah, that's true. And that's okay, because it's better to be serving Kodesh Baruch in that way than it is some king. But that doesn't alleviate necessarily the burdens. We're still called Avadim. Kodesh Baruch is the source of all this stress, no? Amen. Why? Amen. Oh. So it depends how you look at the whole system. Is he just that many of us, and for sure myself, I don't know anybody else, but you grow up, a Kodesh Baruch is the king. That's the only name he gets, really. And he demands, and he obligates, and based on that, there's stress, and there's anxiety, and there's worry, there's schar and onesh, there's punishment, there's this thing called Gehenna, I'm not really sure what that is, but I'm scared because they talk about fire. And then there's not doing this right. You could do this better. There's that whole world. As you mature, hopefully, you break out of that, which is not so pasha. Many people don't. If you're Zocha, you break out of that and you realize that it's Avinu Malkeinu. We say it 1,000 times. It doesn't just say Malkeinu. It says Avinu Malkeinu. And Avinu's first. Mm-hmm. Malkeinu's second. Our Father, our King. But even then, it's hard. See, the next line in the song says, who loves you like a son and daughter, right? Kodesh Baruch Hu is the king. It's not a burden when you're working for the king who loves you like a son and a daughter only wants to bring you closer. That's the end of it. He still has more lines in the song. Now, although that's true, that's level one. Yes, for many people, they've come to this realization, Baruch Hashem. Some people were born with it. Some people took 20, some people 30, some people 40, some people 50. They finally are taught, most often, that Kodesh Baruch Hu is a loving king. He's really a father. Really, he wants the best for you. Really, he's not an angry king who demands and who just wants to punish you. That's not his thing at all. But still, even then, it's not the end. Because if you could have a father, because sometimes people, that father figure, we don't really know how to relate to that. I'm not saying anybody's father in particular, but if you grew up with a little bit of a, you know, I don't mean actually someone's father. I do mean it, but I also don't mean it. I mean that father figure in general, we don't really fully get what that means by Kodesh Baruch Hu. We hear the words, we can imagine it. Everybody can imagine what that means by a loving father. But who's ever really experienced that? I'm not saying from a person's personal father. I'm leaving that out. Just in general, that musig of father. And therefore, even if we change our intellectual understanding of a Kadosh Baruch Hu from being a God, King, do this, or I'm going to smite you, to he's a loving father, and the mitzvahs are good for us, and there is truth to that, there's still a pressure. There's still anxiety. They still have that stuff. Haraya, because people here feel that probably. I would assume to some degree people, at least in our place, where our Rebbe teaches us only one way, the loving father, of course there's responsibilities, and there is scharvonish. There's not a hefkerveld here. But still, people still have anxiety when they see Pesach, the white shelf, the white lining. They still get anxiety when they hear Rosh Mevarchim, Shabbos Mevarchim El, and Slichos start. They still get that. What is that? They don't have Emunah? They have Emunah. But they haven't yet switched over to Chovos Avos Avodas Elokim and Chovos Avos Shar B'Tochen. Because that's really 2.0. And that's what we've discussed for a while, and that's what we're in the sugya now. But as we've discussed, and it's so important because, as I've said, the external world is always going to be what it is. It's dependent on how we personally respond, each person on their own. You have to understand, you have to know the tools, but it's ultimately up to you. That's called Bechira. You could choose to live in Gehenim, or you could choose to live in Gan Eden. In this world, your choice. Each person makes that choice. You could look at some guy and think, how does he live in such a world? His mom's Gehenna. And he's in Gan Eden. We can go to Eretz Yisrael, and we can go to those people who live in a 2x2 shoebox with 8 children. Then they're mamish in Gehenna. They're mamish in Gan Eden. Now you have some people in the 2x2 shoebox, and it's mamish Gehenna. And we could be in a big house in Gehenna. We could be Gan Eden. Because it's up to each person to choose. And that comes from deep places which people don't even know the choices, how they make them. But we need to go back to the source, which of course is going to be how to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our life in this world, which is dependent on two major things. Number one, Sharvodas Elokim, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be an Eved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Chovos Avos, and we've said it a few weeks ago, and we didn't learn this whole Shar, which is very important, and we'll just mention Major Yisod this year, to properly serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that you want to serve, that you choose Pesach, you choose Slichus, you choose it all. Everything that he gives us and the Rabbanan give us, I choose it, I want it. Why? Because I get so much from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's nonstop. Every second that you're alive, every second, there's no exception to this. Every second you're alive, you are receiving Chiyas Mamash from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes or no? This is 101. Of course you are. No, it's not conscious by a lot of people. But if you ask them, of course they'll say yes. So that means every single second you're breathing, you're alive, you're awake, any hana, any pleasure you get from food, from your children, from the sun, from anything, it's all coming from him, right? The more you think about that, you truly think about it. You have to think about it. It can't just be 1 second I'm telling you, and you're like, oh, yeah, of course, obviously. No, it's something that you live, you're constantly thinking about it, nonstop, thinking about it. What will come up in your heart is, I will do anything for this king. What could I do? And not only that, but when you start to understand that the Torah and mitzvahs, if you understand them in a panemius level, and you understand it from this misgeris of HaKadosh Baruch Hu only wants the best for me, so every mitzvah, even the stresses of Pesach, it's good for us. Now, not necessarily the stress, that's also our choice. Some things are overwhelming, there's nothing to do. That's there are a lot of things to do. But also, don't blame a Kodesh Baruch Hu for your procrastination. That's not fair, right? You wait till the last minute and then you have 1,000 things. Don't then say, oh, well, let me work on Bitachon now. That's not, I mean, you could, but it's not really, that's a faulty hishtadlus. But when we understand the bigger picture, and it takes learning, it takes time. Starts with the appreciation, and then everything can change. That which seems overwhelming doesn't have to be so overwhelming. And then, really, really, then we could start what we're learning now. Because, right, if you remember from 2 weeks ago, the Chovos of Avos changes everything when it comes to Torah observance. We make some big mistakes in our thinking. It's not because we chose to make the mistake. It was we just weren't taught anything different. And it's against logic. All of Bitachon, really, is against, and I've said this before, is against natural logic. Bitachon is a whole new way of thinking. Because since a Kadosh Baruch Hu was not openly revealed in this world, right? We have to work, most people, we grow up and we deal with the world as it is. And bad things are bad things and good things are good things. And it's on me. All parnassah is on me. Everything in this world is on me. That's what I was taught. That's why I go to school, because I have to take responsibility for parnassah, for the household, for this. And the stresses are on me and the responsibilities are on me. And then I'm overwhelmed. That's what I see in this world. Someone's going to come tell you, no, you don't have to stress so much. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of you. I even know what that means. But listen, you do your thing. Do your thing. Go to work. Wake up normal. Go to davening. Go to work. Raise a family. And don't worry. Don't worry. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care. He'll make it good. You know, look at this guy. What are you, crazy? Well, you're illogical. That's not how it works, man. You gotta put yours in. What you put in, you get out. Or LIFO, FIFO, whatever. FILO. You gotta put in to get out. Yeah, of course there's a bonus shalom. Obviously, I daven, I learn. But the world's up to me. That's what he gave me. Bechira chavshis. I have to make something of myself. So when someone tells you, but that's not really true. We have to change that. Let's talk about Bitachon for a second. The guy will be like, that's illogical. That's illogical. That's not true. But we have to tell him, we don't have to work with logic. We have to work with logic, but we also have to work with above logic. Because if there's really a Borei Olam, of course, there's wisdom that he gave us, there's logic, there's teva, this is true, of course this is true. I can't fly. I can't choose to fly. I can't choose right now, I want $1 million. That doesn't work. So we have to live in a world of logic, normal, hishtadlus. But at the same time, you have to be connected to the above, to the emunah, that there is a creator, there's one who's running every single thing. There is no exception. There is somebody, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, who has created everything and he's running everything. You have to connect to that and let that drip in to your logic and to your hishtadlus, to know when you're doing your hishtadlus and you're living in the world of logic, HaKadosh Baruch Hu backs you up. And sometimes when this stuff doesn't make sense, that's okay. Because it doesn't have to. Because I live in a world with the Ribbono Shel Olam who also doesn't work in the world of logic as well. It's both at the same time. Because when you're doing hishtadlus, it's on you. But you have to let the drips of emunah of the Borei Olam come into your life. That you don't do hishtadlus without him. That's kfira mamish. Even every breath you take, every step in towards hishtadlus, doing hishtadlus, every time you want to say a word of davening, hishtadlus. You want to walk to the shuk to buy a lulav, hishtadlus. He's not there? Kadosh Baruch Hu is only when it comes to the mitzvah itself? I think that'd be kfira 101. Of course he's with you every single second. So in your hishtadlus, which is on us, we have to do that, he's with you together, as much as you allow him to be there. And then, also, whatever happens, that's really up to him. That you can't choose. That's sometimes illogical. Sometimes life goes the way that 1 + 1 = 2. A lot of life goes with that. But sometimes 1 + 1 = 3. Sometimes 1 + 1 = -1. You put all your effort in and it doesn't go. You put no effort in and it goes. Explain that. Because there's a Borei Olam. There's one who runs the world. That's the answer. So when it comes to our hishtadlus, we have to know we have to put ours in. Have to. As much as Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you the ability to do, do it. But you don't need to feel pressure. Why does a person feel pressure? Because the results and the effect, what's going to happen because of the results, right? I don't care how many phone calls you make and how many people you speak to. Did you make the sale or did you not make the sale? If you made the sale, great. If you didn't make the sale, well then, how are you going to pay for your kid's college? And if you don't make the sale, then you might get fired. And then you're going to be called a loser. And then you're going to get kicked out. You're not going to get a job. And then what's going to be? And then the whole Bitachon says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of all results. That whole world that's created from that, those thoughts of the future, which you make in literally an entire world. It's so real, that world, which is could be 6 months, a year from now, yes? Could be 10 years from now, what you're worrying about. You can actually feel the pain now. It's pretty sick, no? Listen, man, if it's going to happen, feel the pain in 10 years. Why do I have to feel? Why would I bring that earlier? That's crazy. So let's say something down the road, 10 years from now, 6 months from now, something's going to happen. Let's say. Do your stodless, of course, but don't bring the pain to now. We'll do that. We pay millions of dollars to not have any pain, but yet you're bringing it in, which is not even here. Why? Because it's on you. It's on me. I'm the balabas in this world. I'm the balabas over my mitzvahs. I'm the balabas over my parnasa. Yeah, of course it's a Kaddish Baruch. Of course I'm a mamin. But it's on me. This is what goes on. This is what we're talking about. So when it comes to Torah mitzvahs, we have this issue as well. So let's, I always say this, but I can't promise. Let's try to read straight through the whole section. I'm just going to read the English because I already read the Hebrew last week. Let's go on page 163. This is something that's going to take again and again. You have to think about this again and again. Again, these are the yesodos of bitachon. Just we're drawing it into another vessel. Whether the vessel is my parnasa, whether the vessel is my wife and kids, whether the vessel is Torah mitzvahs. Correct? All these things are vessels. They're all God made. He gave us all of these things to do. But he still stands above it all. Above it all. And therefore, whatever yesodos we're going to learn has to come from the top of the pyramid, HaKadosh Baruch himself, that there's a Borei Olam, he loves us, he takes care of us, only he can run things, only he decides things, he's the most powerful, that whole world of Shar Bitachon, those are the Yesodos. Never forget them. And then slowly draw them down into the different sugyas. That's what we've been doing, correct? So now we're going to go to Torah Mitzvahs. Same Yesodos, nothing different. Page 163, let's just read the English for right now, and then we'll see. The explanation of the proper manner in which a person has bitachon regarding the fourth category, which is comprised of matters pertaining to the duties of the heart, the chavos of the vavos, and the limbs of the person, mitzvahs on the limbs, from which only the person himself gains or is harmed by them. Examples of these types of mitzvahs, fasting, prayer, sukkah, lulav, tzitzis, observance of Shabbos and the festivals, which is Pesach, matzah, all that stuff. Refraining from committing transgressions, right? And all the duties of the heart that do not pertain to anyone else. Just you right now. Ahavas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, Tvegas Hashem, Precious, Hachna, all the good stuff. And whose benefit or harm only affect him. And no one else. At least directly, right? Parenthetically, we all know that how we live, we also affect other people based on your mood, but we're not supposed to have that. But what is between us and a Kadosh Baruch? I'll explain the proper way in which to rely upon God, may he be blessed. Bitachon, how do we rely upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Torah Mitzvahs? And we've discussed already, some people think that, what do you mean? Torah Mitzvahs, that's on me. HaKol B'dei Shemayim, I always go over this, right? HaKol B'dei Shemayim Chutz Mi Yir Shemayim. Everything's in the hands of God except for Yir Shemayim. So some people learn that, as we keep saying again and again, that Yir Shemayim is Torah Mitzvahs. Everything's in the hands of God except for Torah Mitzvahs, that's on me. I got to put myself in there. It's on me. Responsibility is on me. Schar v'onish, it's on the line. That's not the proper way to look at it. It's very, very vague. It's very, very ambiguous. It's very, very just clully, fluffy. It's not real. It's too general. It's just too general. It's not fair to explain a Maamar Chazal like that. Maamar Chazal, parenthetically, Maamar Chazal are very deep. They have to be learned again and again. It has to be understood. You can't just take it, and the people who said it are probably Rishonim, but even then we have to understand. But to just say out a very general understanding and then not go on to explain how that, what does that really mean? It's too big. It's not, I don't think it's fair to the Jewish people. We have to understand these Maamar Chazal to the best of our abilities, and there might be a machlokas, but at least go into it. Why is it Yir Shemayim? Why doesn't it say Torah Mitzvahs then? Right, you start with questions. Hakol b'dei shemayim chutz mitorah mitzvahs. And why is it hakol? What do you mean? Hakol means there's exceptions. What is going on over here? It should just say, Gashmius is B'day Shemayim and non-Gashmius is not. Again, I'm not going into that now, but there's many, many questions on that line. That line is Emes Lamito, but what does it really mean? End parentheses. Okay. I'll explain the proper way in which to rely upon God may be blessed regarding all of these matters. So there is a bitachon in Torah mitzvahs. I wonder what people would say. I mean, we already learned it, but I wonder. I wonder what people would say. Where's bitachon in Torah mitzvahs? I wonder. I wonder if people would have an answer to that. They say, no, bitachon is really in parnasa. It's like when you don't have any money and then you have to like daven really hard and hope for Kodesh Baruch Hu to give you money or something, or when people are sick. I don't know what they would say, bitachon mitzvahs. I wonder. Akoponim, sorry. That was also parentheses. I ask of God that in his mercy he show me the truth in this matter. So a little tefillah, because this is not pasha. We're going right for ruchnis here. It is as follows. Acts of service of God and acts of transgression, Torah mitzvahs, or averus, are only possible for a person to perform if the following three things come together. Number one, the choice that he makes in his heart and mind to do the thing. Number two, the mental decision to execute what he chooses to do, start moving towards, planning, preparing to do the thing that in his heart and mind he chose to do. And then three, the efforts that he makes with his visible limbs to complete that act and can bring it to the realm of action, lamaisa, doing whatever he can to have it happen. Only with those three things can any mitzvah happen or any avera happen. The author will now make a distinction between the first two things by which a person should not have bitachon in God to help him with them, and the third thing for which bitachon is required. Now, bitachon, in our world, bitachon means what? Bitachon means not stressing. Bitachon means not stressing because it's on God, not on me. Simple translation? I think it's. We'll keep it at that for now, right? Regarding the parts of the above three things that are not hidden from us, meaning that it is in our power to control them, this is where Bechira counts. Namely, one, the choice that we make to either serve God or not, or to transgress his will. That choice is up to us. And we are rewarded or punished for the choices we make. Two, the mental decision to execute, both of which are in our control, and it would be a mistake and foolish of us to rely on God for this. Well, Kodesh Baruch, I wouldn't have done this avera if you didn't put it into my head. Oh. What?
Whoa, why did you just say that?
It's a joke. Oh. Because, yeah, we have a lot of yetzer hara that go through our head. Every thought that we go through our head comes from a Kodesh Baruch, but still, you have to choose to do it. Right? Everything's a test. You can't start saying to Kodesh Baruch, listen, it's on you. Generally. We did bring a case. Well, let's leave it at that. A person has to do his all. We're going to get to technical soon.
Every thought in a person's head comes from Hashem.
Ultimately. Where does it come from? But not every thought is supposed to say, yeah, let's do that. Are we ready for that? I think we spoke about that before. I think that's Emunah. I think so. No? Could argue. I'm okay with that. Where else did it come from? You say, well, it came from your head. But then, where did that thought come from? It came from that thing that happened last week. How did you even know to think like that? Because I saw something once. Well, where did that come from? Or why are you thinking that way? Well, because my parents, yeah, but where did they come from? Where? Everything always has to go back, ultimately, to Kodesh Baruch Hu, I think.
Where's my Bechira, then?
What?
Where's my Bechira?
Did you choose to do the bad thing that came into your head or not do the bad thing that came into your head?
My thoughts are not...
Sometimes they're also your Bechira. Because if you then choose to... I don't want to get into the depths of everything. We're not going to get to that there's no Bechira. We're not getting to there. That's not for now. That's not for here. That's a personal journey. But in general, what happens when you choose to go somewhere and then you see something, you heard something, and then later that comes to your head? Of course, from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But you also... Yad biyad. You know... That's part of your shtadlis, and you have to work on that. But these are things that people should think about. I think these are things that people should think about. Don't go off the deep end. At the end of the day, there's a God, and he's good, and he loves us. If you have that, then you'll always stay on the straight path. But we should be thinking about this. You should be thinking about your thoughts. Why do I think like that? Because if you don't, how do you ever get back to the stress and anxieties and the worries? You'll never fix that up. Those are all coming from thoughts. And part of what we're talking about today is part of these, this anxiety, the worry, the stresses, all that stuff about Torah mitzvahs is coming from a misunderstanding of our job in this world. Things that we might have been taught, or we just, for whatever reason, thought, it's just a misunderstanding. And it's creating a whole world. Usually when a person is responding in a way of anxiety or depression or pessimism or negativity, it's because he has a misunderstanding of something. Right? It's usually. A person could have a loss, lo aleinu. But if he understands how to see it in the right way, he doesn't have to become immobilized. So it's always within the self. Always, always, always. So far, so good?
It's confusing when you say it's always, always in yourself, because then you blame yourself for everything, and it's a contradiction with it.
Well, the word blame is already the problem. See, that's a word that we have to, yeah, we still have to talk about that, I guess. We have to know how to...
But when you use a language like, it's all on myself,
it is.
That's contrary to, it's all from God. So it's very difficult to put those two together.
So it's both.
It's not.
So in Bitachon it is. It's both at the same time. I mean, it comes from you, but that's where you're supposed to be. That doesn't mean the next second you shouldn't get better. Right? Whatever has happened is a combination of Hishtadus Bechira, but ultimately because the Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted that. Whatever, we always talk about this. Up until this second, it's all a combination. Wherever you're holding, even all the mistakes that we made, that's how he worked it out. The next moment, you have to then choose to make it a happier world for yourself. But blaming means you're going back to the past. Blaming means you're not happy with the now. Those are both against bitachon, no? Going back to the past and saying that it was my doing, not a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's kfir number one. And to say that my now is bad because of my mistakes in the past, that's also kfir, that's kfir number two. Kodesh Baruch Hu is deciding that the now should be the now because it's for your best. We're agreeing in an external situation. Guy loses money, let's just say. Okay, so you could either say, well, Kodesh Baruch Hu was smiting me because I made mistakes when I was younger, and I'm to blame, and I'm getting punished, and I, and my now is bad, bad. My fault, I've blamed. That's the malach of many people. True? Yes. What's the right way to look at it?
Please, don't get it distorted. Take out the word blame. Don't use that word blame because that has connotations in itself.
So take out the word blame.
Just say, it's my responsibility because I chose which thought patterns to take. You said a minute ago that we do have a choice of what to do. So that's why it's very confusing.
Okay, good.
Is it a result of the choice of my thoughts or is it a result of a predestined thing from Hashem?
I'm not getting to predestined. I don't want to say predestined. That's already.
He wanted that to be for me, for my own good.
Good. So now this moment we're in right now, not the past moment. You're just talking about the past, right?
I don't know what I'm talking about.
You're so lost. Len, we have to go back to
that. No. When you ask that question, oh. I don't know what.
Right now, we're left to live life, this moment on, forward. Okay? So how do we look at it? The situation I'm in.
Right.
Which is... It could be it's a
combination is the bottom line, is what you say.
Good, let's say.
Of what I chose.
Good.
And what God wanted.
Right, so, okay, good. Now, let's go to the now. Now what? Now what? How do we move forward? How do we look at the situation? Am I to blame? Do I go down? What?
That's why I said you don't use the word blame.
Okay, so let's...
Is
okay.
it a result of my thoughts?
Or good. So what does that do in the now? Let's go into. So, what is that doing for me now? Right now, I lost. We're talking about a situation where a person lost money. Good, money lost. Good. Now my brain's working. Why did this happen to me? Yes, that's where the head going. Why?
Sure.
Good. First of all, it's already a mistake number one. But let's say we go right because why are we doing
it's
that?
It's not a mistake. Somebody has to review, take measurement.
Good. So let's say why. Okay. Now why? What's the answer? I'm thinking right now. What's the answer? Because I did that Avera last week.
Don't even make it an Avera. Just say, I made that business decision. I could have made a different one.
I made that business decision. I could have made a different one. And therefore, I lost.
Right.
Good. Now what? Mopey all day?
No. Do the same thing again.
Oh, wait. What? Wait.
Give it thought.
Give it thought.
Make good choices. And try to improve your choices. By doing them in a holy way.
Okay, so what? So we're good. So we're happy. We're happy or we're sad? This guy, is he happy or is he sad moving forward? Is he strong or is he weak?
So that's what it should affect?
I'm just trying to go through your situation. I'm just trying to like speak it out. And when you actually speak it out with the words of Bitachon as much as you can, you'll answer your own question. Sometimes we get caught. Where are we? And then we just end up down.
I don't think he's happy or sad. I think what he realizes is the outcome is in Hashem's hands. It's in Hashem's control.
Good. Is that happy or sad?
It's neither.
It's
tranquil.
Okay.
It's not being stressed and not having anxiety. You realize that you did your hishtaglus and everything.
Well, simcha. Okay, fine.
And everything you're supposed to do, so to speak, and the outcome is in Hashem's
hands. You're calm. You're calm.
You're calm.
No, is that
a good outcome? You could be happy.
We could talk about simcha another time, but
there's nothing wrong with being happy.
Yeah, yeah. But let's say we're just calm.
I'll take that.
We'll take that any day. Anybody will take that any day. That's the joke, of course. But from that place of calm, you could even.
Well, you're talking about beginning with Pesach and anxiety and stress and whatever. But you have bitachon, you have calmness, right? That's what we're trying to get at.
Of course, that's what bitachon is.
Just being calm is going to make things better.
Yeah. And then you can actually be normal, and then you can even make yourself happy, maybe. But you can think, you could be proactive, you can. Our problem is that we're just not calm. One point down from being calm, everything's off. You're not living in God's world then. Of course there will be situations that are above our pay grade, of course. He will overwhelm the system. Kadosh Baruch Hu does that to us. There's nothing you could do about it. That's also just...
Okay, I can throw a wrench in this. So what do we do now?
Wrench is what? Good or bad?
Holocaust Part 2 is coming our way. We're supposed to be calm. We're supposed to be fighting.
Okay, I'm not... That was... we can definitely talk about that afterwards.
That wasn't fair.
That wasn't true. I mean, come on. Real.
I don't know. I don't even know what that means. The words you start off with already, I was like off. I don't know where you're going with that, but we'll talk Holocaust Part 2.
I don't know what that means.
We'll talk about that afterwards in the sidebar, you know. If we had time, I'd call you over to the judges table here and we could talk about it, but sidebar, that's called. Sorry. Speaking to the lawyer. That's pretty good. I knew it was a bar. Okay, but I want to let's read here a little bit. We could talk about that. But if you work it through properly, if you really work it through, then that word blame, all the guilt should go away. Because once you put a Kadosh Baruch Hu into the picture, even with all your choices, and because of course we make choices, but when you realize it was Suzama, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's not as bad as it once was. Maybe there's a reason. Maybe I can get better. Maybe things are more calm than I think.
Of course there's a reason. The problem is sometimes... You can't see clearly. And you're saying if you have bitachon, then you can see the reason more clearly.
Yeah, you have to work through it. Slow. Once the mind starts racing, just stop.
Because it's always a lesson.
Yeah. The second the mind starts racing, stop, go take a walk, do your meditation, go drink a cold drink, come back to it afterwards. Because if you start thinking in that situation, it's like trying to build a skyscraper during an earthquake. It's literally what it is. Chances, zero.
Say the brain doesn't run well, hot, or whatever.
Because it's overwhelmed. That's what we're talking about. You can't think straight. Sometimes you can calm yourself down with bitachon. Sometimes you literally just need to remove yourself from the situation. Sometimes you just need to go outside. That's not bitachon. That's just being smart. Be normal. Now's not the time. You get really upset at your kid. That's the time to have a conversation with them. Go outside, breathe a little bit, calm down, and then speak about it from a place of seichel. It's just being normal human being, which is also lacking a lot nowadays, unfortunately. Without bitachon, just being normal, breathing, eating healthy, sleeping. We discussed this, I think, by Purim time. Like the normal stuff, we're already off on that. Start thinking is like, you know, beyond. Okay. I don't think we got to any further than we wanted to get to, but that doesn't matter. So let me just read this again. I have to finish up to 167, the first paragraph, even though that's where we ended last week. Doesn't matter. Okay, 166, left side, I think second paragraph. This is because the Creator, may He be blessed, has left us in control of the choice, the bechira, to either serve Him or to rebel against Him, as it is written, you shall choose life, b'charta b'chayim. Life here refers to Torah observance, and in the verse, God tells us to choose life. Clearly, a person has free choice whether to observe the Torah or not. That being the case, it makes no sense to rely on God regarding this. If He wants it, it'll happen. No, because it's completely in a person's control. However, He did not leave us in control of executing the action to its completion. The Gemar HaMaisa. You cannot do that. Be it an act of service of God or a transgression, an Avera. So all that world of blame, if I blame myself for every Avera 100%, that's also Kfira. Because it's a combination. Yes, I made choices, and I am getting punished for that, and I need to do teshuva for that, 100%. But the actual maisa is up to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That does not limit any tshuva, that does not limit any punishment you might receive. But it's a bigger understanding of the picture. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is also involved in that. There's many sins that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has orchestrated over our lives and the world at large, because He has a bigger picture. Is that too much for people right now?
It's only a b'di'evid. L'hatchila, you can't say that God was in on my sin, because then you're planning.
However, He did not leave us in control of executing the action to its completion, be it an act of service of God or a transgression. Are you arguing with this line, sir?
No, I'm trying to understand it.
Fine, then we'll talk about that afterwards. But don't argue with this line. He said it, not me. I believe Him. The actual maisa is up to Kadosh Baruch Hu. You could put all your kochos, spend all your money to do something, and then the second you're about to do it, it just floats away. You missed it.
I'm just talking about Avera right now.
Yeah, I was talking about Avera too, man. Whatever the Avera is.
Transgression.
You're screaming Lashon Hara because you thought some guy heard you, but the guy actually was listening to headphones. He couldn't hear anything. So there's no Lashon Hara there at all. Or, whatever. I don't want to go into the Averas now. But at the end of the day, it's Suzaman. Everything in life is Suzaman. How could you do anything together, you and God? Part you, part Him. Each person has to know their role. There is nothing in this world that happens just you. There are things in this world that happen just God. There is nothing that you've ever done in your life that is just you. Cannot be. Can't be. How'd you get the energy to do the thing you did?
No, I understand that.
Good, so 1 second.
It does give you a little b'di'evid, a little...
No, you just need, we need to keep talking about it, because I'm going against 40 years of things you heard. We need to change that. It's going to take some time. Instead, it is dependent on external factors. The actual maisa is dependent on a lot of different things from a Kodesh Baruch Hu that are beyond our control. And some... All right, let's just finish off here. These factors are sometimes available and sometimes unavailable. Adkan, we're going to continue with this next week. We are not done. We're barely into it. But the world of Torah and Mitzvahs, we have to start changing our understanding with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I don't know how much we dug into the Pesach situation, but Amir Hashem, the shelves will still be there next week. You still will not have bought everything. There will still be stress, so we'll talk about it next week.